What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 308, and this week's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Patriots and their Viper Steel memory. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Viper Steel and pick up some of their memory, that definitely helps us out and helps them out. And I do have to say, this memory, if you're looking for non-RGB memory,
looks good.
There's no RGB stuff, and it's DDR4, not DDR5, but it is available up to 4400 megahertz, which is pretty high for DDR4. We tested this a while ago. You can check out the review on the website, but we want to thank them for sponsoring this week's podcast and having some awesome memory as well.
I like that color too. The spreaders look good.
Like I said, the Viper Steel has this, like, I'm trying to get it so my face isn't it so you guys can see it, but yeah, it's like this gunmetal kind of color with the Viper logo there. It's really cool. And they put this out, a little while, almost like a year ago, when like the, you know, RGB was all over the place. And remember, they were one of the few that had RGB memory that wasn't, or they had non-RGB memory when the whole RGB memory craze was kind of going on. So definitely check it out again, thinkcomputers.org/Viper Steel. And yeah, man, you ready to podcast? It's Wednesday.
Let's do it.
Yeah. You know, but we have old man in the chat. Good to see you here as well. And I showed Ryan this earlier, but I'm rocking. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I have the G Fuel Peach Rings, which
you're all in on that stuff.
This stuff, and I have it in the can form, not the not the powder form.
Yep.
And I tried, like I said, I tried this probably like a month ago or something like that. And if you've ever had like candy peach rings, this tastes exactly like you're drinking candy peach rings. So I'm a huge fan.
Cool. I'm going on a drive tomorrow for a little while. Maybe I'll stop by and I got to get gas. So maybe I'll run into the gas station and see if they got it there.
I did see. So talking about energy drinks before we get into everything, they opened a new liquor store in my like complex.
Uh-huh.
And I just went in there the other day to check it out. They have insanely crazy high-end liquor that I've never heard of. That's like, but they have like a whole energy drink section. They have G Fuel in the can like this, but they also have that. Have you ever heard of that? It's called Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never had that before. So I'm going to pick one up, maybe like tomorrow, the next day, and check that out. I've never had it before. So, just trying all these new energy drinks and everything like that. But of course, this is a tech podcast, so let's get to the tech, obviously. If you guys do want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that is linked in the description of this video, wherever you're watching it at. And you can go ahead and follow along and click through and see everything that we're going to be talking about tonight. First up, we have our review. And this week, I got back to motherboard reviews, taking a look at the Gigabyte Z690 Aorus Ultra. And the Aorus Ultra in the Aorus line of Z690 motherboards actually sits towards the lower end as far as their Z690 Aorus lineup. I think the biggest change for me with this board is the overall design. Sadly, I'm just not a fan of it. I don't know what your take is on it, Ryan.
It's very square, right?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
square corners. It's just not that I want to see rounded corners. It's just that that big heat sink, especially down by the PCIe slots and the probably covering some M.2s. It's just odd.
And here's what I have to say is, like, if all, what is it, Z590 Aorus Ultra, like, if you look at the previous version, so this is the, like, this is the previous version of the same motherboard, okay?
Yep.
This is the new version. It just does not, like,
change.
It's a big change. It's toned down. I was honestly, I love this like little, just the little Aorus logo there. And on the X570 Aorus boards, it lit up. Like, it's just, you know, very much toned down. But beyond that, this motherboard actually does have quite a lot as in terms of VRM and everything else that you want. When it comes to VRM, you have a 19-phase VRM, which is 16.1 and 2.
The 16 phases for your V-core or CPU, they use 105 amp power stages. So I think it's 1680. I could look at the review. I'm pretty sure it's 1680 amps. Yeah, dedicated to your V-core. So that's more than enough to handle, you know, an i9-12900K and all of that. And they use their new, this is sort of like version 2 of their FINS array, which basically is an actual true, it's not just like a piece of metal, it's a true heatsink that goes over your power cooling or your power delivery components. Probably, I think that Gigabyte does this specifically of VRM cooling the best. You're not going to run into, you know, VRM cooling issues or anything like that. They really have that under control. And then you do get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 on this board. There's a header, internal header right here, but they also have it on the rear IO, which is really nice to see. So you have, you know, a type C right here. Also something to notice, and I know Ryan, you're a huge fan of this. If you count them, including the type C, there's 12 USB ports on the rear IO. Ryan and I both 13, yeah, including the type C. We use a ton of accessories and just dumb things that we connect to our computer. I always run out of USB ports, and there are only a few, like Asus and their ROG boards were like one of the few that gave you a ton. This is, again, a very mid-range board, and you're getting 13 on the rear IO plus internal headers if you really wanted to use them. They're not all USB 3.2. these four right here in the center, they're USB 2.0. But again, if you're connecting something that doesn't really need the speed, it kind of really doesn't matter. These four over here are USB 3.2 Gen 1. These four right here are USB 3.2 Gen 2. And then the Type-C is Gen 2x2. So lots of connectivity on this board. And you do get four NVMe slots. So last generation, I think we maxed out at three. You're getting four on this board. There's the top one right here, and then the bottom three. They're not PCI Express 5.0. They're only PCI Express 4.0, and I believe one of them supports SATA as well. The only thing PCI Express 5.0 on this board is the graphics card slot, which is metal reinforced, which you see right here. But yeah, lots, just like, I think that what they did really great with this board is they gave you a lot of things that you actually want to use. Like 10 gig LAN is nice, but who's using it, right? Like not that many people.
Not many people, yeah.
You know, here, like for us, for me, I want a lot of connectivity and I want a lot of NVMe drives. Like that's what I want. And they kind of gave it to you on this board. All of the, heat sinks, the NVMe heat sinks, they have the thermal tape on both the heatsink itself and then on the bottom part as well. So you shouldn't have to worry about any.
And OneDrive has a huge heatsink on it as well on the top.
Yeah, the top drive. I mean, this thing is thick. It's massive. Yeah, and it's a real heatsink there too as well. So lots of cool stuff. The one thing I did find weird is, so there's this screw here for the top M.2 and then these tiny screws. Mm-hmm. This top screw and these tiny screws, they're two different sizes. And I had a screwdriver for this one, but I didn't have a bit that was small enough for this one. Like this is so small that you really need like the size of a screwdriver that would come in like a eyeglass repair kit. Like that's how small it is. So I had to go out and buy a bit for this. And I think that if I don't have it, I think that most people won't have it, I'm thinking. And Gigabyte doesn't include a screwdriver. We've seen that with other motherboards from ASRock and from Asus, at least on their ROG line, you get a little screwdriver. You don't get that there. So something to think about. But overall, like I said, this is a really good board for what it is. It comes down to, I think it's $329 right now, which I think is a good deal considering everything you get. Some of the things that you're not going to get on this board, you know, as you go up in the Z690 Aorus line, you're going to get more VRM support. But it uses the same power stages in all of the Aorus boards. So you're getting the same quality, just less phases as you go up. This is also just Wi-Fi 6, not Wi-Fi 6E. Something to think about there. And there is no PCI Express 5.0 NVMe support on this. A lot of Z690 boards won't come with that support because right now there's no retail drives for sale. So they're not putting them on the boards to add even more cost. You also only get, I didn't talk about it, but you also only get an 8-pin plus an extra 4-pin, not dual 8-pin for your EPS, which if I can find a picture of it right here. So you only get that on here. But I think for Alder Lake, this is going to handle anybody who's running, you know, an i5 all the way up to an i9, no problem. And I think if you're like most of us, again, you want that storage and you want the USB ports, and this kind of gives you all of that at a very good price. I think $329 is a very good price compared to a lot of the other Z690 boards that are out there. So definitely go ahead and check out our review. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I just wish they would have kept that old design. That's just the only other bad thing I got to say about it. It's just not a fan of this.
Yeah, just overall design. Throw it in a case without a window and you're all set.
Yeah, you're kind of good to go there. So like I said, check out that review. Moving on to Case Mod Friday, we have another build from our friend Stuart over at GGF. This is Project Chaos, and it's done inside, what is this, the Asa Cast 808. And this is actually a pretty cool case because it sort of opens up kind of, I don't know, how would you say this opens up? Like a
hinged top inside.
Yeah, like a hinged top inside kind of deal. But what he did is, he built an awesome water cooling system in here.
Yeah.
But he also put this sort of like heads up display right here. And that heads up display is actually like a heads up display. If you watch the video, which we have in the article, this display right here actually pops up. It's really cool. And he has, I believe this is powered through Ada 64 with all your, you know, your graphs and your CPU temperature clock, you know, all that kind of stuff all on there. Great work from him as always. What do you think about this one?
I like it. Yeah, no, this thing's sweet. The color scheme's always nice. I always usually enjoy like the orange, white, and silver builds. It's a pretty common theme there. I do like that screen because when you have that panel closed, you can still have that display screen up. And so I think one of the images on the top row. Yeah. So you can still like, you get the functionality of that screen, even if you've got it all closed up, right? Which I think is really cool. Like always, I mean, his builds are amazing. So,
yeah. And he does video going through the whole process, the entire build process in a video. So definitely check that as well. So great job from Stuart over at GGF. And we do want to tell you there is about a week left in our giveaway from Fractal Design. So if you don't know, we are giving away one of their Torrent Compact RGB cases. This is the one that if you guys are watching the video that you can see pictured here. It's the black version with glass panels on both the left and right side panel. And it comes with two RGB fans. So just an awesome case. Super easy to enter. We do it all through Gleam. You just enter your email and all of that. And then there's a bunch of other ways you can get entered after your initial entry by like subscribing to the podcast, by subscribing to us on YouTube, all that kind of stuff. Super easy to enter and get your entry in. The link for the giveaway is on our show notes page, as well as if you just go to the website and you click on contest at the top, it's the first one that should show up right here. And boom, and you're in and you're good to go. So yeah, excited to one more week, and we might have another contest rolling out after that. And let's go to news. And there was a really interesting story that kind of popped up first that NVIDIA was hacked. Right. It was this group called Lapsus, is that how you would say it?
Yeah.
Lapsus, where the last S is a dollar sign. So they apparently hacked over a terabyte of data, a terabyte of stolen data from NVIDIA. Yep. that's kind of crazy.
They're kind of like threatening to release it, you know.
Yeah, so
and that's one of the things with these hacking groups is like, it used to be, oh, we're just gonna encrypt your data and you don't have access to it, and now it's kind of like they're extorting you, we're going to release this data, right? Which is almost worse sometimes.
Yeah, so that report initially came out, nobody knew what was stolen, nobody knew if it was true, and then Nvidia basically hacked them back. So whatever machine initially compromised Nvidia servers or whatever, Nvidia went back and they basically encrypted that system. And it's kind of funny because they posted this message that said, some days ago we conducted attack against Nvidia and stole 18 terabytes of confidential data. Today we woke up and found Nvidia scum had attacked our machine with ransomware, coming from the people that ransomware Nvidia. They're calling Nvidia scum because they went back and did kind of the same thing, which is kind of funny. And it said, luckily we had a backup, you know, and they said, well, how can they connect to our machine and do the same thing? So actually this group did release the DLSS source code, which is pretty crazy. You know, that has already been released. And then the crazy thing is that now this hacking group, even though Nvidia went back and they, I guess, hacked them back, they, of course, made a backup. And they're saying on that backup is they're asking Nvidia to make all of their drivers open source. And here's kind of the message that they kind of sent out. We request that Nvidia commits to completely open source their GPU drivers for Windows, Mac, OS, Linux, and now and forever. And it said, if this is not met by Friday, which would be this Friday, they will release complete silicon graphics and computer chipset files for all recent Nvidia GPUs, including RTX 3090 and upcoming revisions. Kind of giving them a say like, hey, if you don't make your stuff open source, we're going to put all this information out there. And I assume the kind of, besides just the, you know, they did release the DLS source code. They did, I believe, possibly release or threaten to release the light hash rate, how it's done and how it's so basically people can create an app that turns off LHR on all the stuff. Obviously, there's a lot of IP stuff. And I think the biggest thing for us would be information on next-gen products. Yeah, whether cards. They're... I mean, mostly, like, we're most interested in, obviously, graphics cards. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy. What do you think NVIDIA is going to do? I don't believe they would ever open source their drivers.
No, and that's the fact is that, like, you have until Friday. Like, they're not gonna like be able to open source these things that quick, right? That's an undertaking, even if that's the route they're gonna take. But I, like old man said in chat, he's like, if you pay the ransomware, it never ends, right? So if you give in to these people, it's like, well, what's the next thing? And what's the next thing? I don't know. I don't think that they will give into it, you know.
And Omen says they leaked data on a potential new Nintendo Switch.
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's and it's weird that, you know, this group isn't asking for money. They obviously want like I said, them to make their drivers open source. And I think the specific thing that would kind of be threatening towards, besides just the information, you know, things like DLSS and things like LHR and things like all of the technologies that are an add-on when you get NVIDIA hardware, If that stuff's let out and, you know, other companies can take that and be like, oh, we can do the same thing with our hardware.
Yeah, we figured out, we know how they did it. Now we can figure out how we can do it without like making it look like we looked over at their paper to figure out how they did it, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing, because again, we've talked about this when we reviewed NVIDIA graphics cards, is you always get that add-on with DLSS, ray tracing, all that kind of stuff. You know, so there, it's very interesting. It's kind of cool that NVIDIA hacked them back, even though they didn't get the, you know, they weren't able to encrypt the data before it was, you know, backed up. But yeah, very, very interesting, interesting story. And the, you know, we don't typically cover stuff like this, but obviously because it was NVIDIA, we had to. So we'll obviously keep you updated. I mean, Friday's only a couple days away, so we'll see kind of if something gets released out there, you know. On the CPU side of things, it looks like the Ryzen 7 5800 X3D, that's the one that they announced at CES. You know, it has the extra 64 megabytes of 3D V cache on there, basically to compete against the 12900K. It should be available by the end of March. Data miners have found all of this information on it. So, you know, at this point, like, are you, I guess if you were just, you've been waiting, you know?
I guess, but we've been on, you know, this 5000 series for a while. So I wouldn't necessarily. And
even though we've seen a few new X570S motherboards, you know, the whole idea of building a system is getting like all of that new tech. And I think that, you know, we have the next generation of Ryzen, if it comes out in March, next generation Ryzen should be towards the end of the year, but still, I mean, I don't know. I'm not super like excited for this per se.
No, I mean, you know, if you can't wait, or, you know, like you got a system that died or something and you need a replacement, sure, go for it. If it's critical. But if you're like building that initial machine, or you're looking to just upgrade to something newer, I'd hold out till the next gen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you saw my camera go away and didn't hear me for a while, like all my USB just like blap, died.
Dude, mouse, I had that mouse, I had keyboard, that same problem.
Camera, mic, everything.
There was a couple podcasts where I had that exact same problem. And I have a slight fix for it now, which is just an external powered USB hub. But beyond that, it still does it. Like my RGB, like I have a Corsair RGB all through my case, and it just resets like every, I don't know, 20 minutes. I've been I've talked about this for a while about upgrading this PC. It's in the works. Just haven't had time to really kind of get down to the exact parts I want to use. But yeah, it's the worst part of that. It's like not even during a podcast. It's gaming. If you're gaming and that happens,
and you're like moving, trying to move, and it's just like, why am I not moving? And I did.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean that's a common problem, and I think when you're using a motherboard for a while, that is one of the main things that goes first is the USB ports. Just a thing. It just always happens, and it even on a laptop too. Like one of the first things to die if you've had a laptop for a while is typically a USB port just stops working or something. So yeah. Also, this week, Intel revealed their NUC 12 Extreme, and I kind of wanted to see what you thought of this, because we saw these at CES, earlier versions of this, but this is the new NUC 12 Extreme Dragon Canyon mini PC, Alder Lake CPUs, and PCI Express 5 discrete graphics cards. They have a graphics card slot. They don't come with a graphics card per se. This is kind of what they look like. I mean,
I like NUCs, it other than that skull.
The NUCs have gotten bigger. They were very small.
Well, and now, sure. And they still make the small ones. It's just these, you know, extreme.
And this is kind of what the systems. Inside kind of looks like. I don't know how large of a GPU you can technically put in here because of power. Because if you look at this, you know, you have a power connection here. So I don't know how much power you're going to get out of this. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it has like Thunderbolt, it has USB, it has all that stuff. With Alder Lake parts, you can get it with an i7-12700 or an i9-12900. These are 65 watt parts, not the K versions, which are higher. And yeah, so support for up to 64 gigabytes of DDR4, PCI Express 5, PCI Express Gen 5 X16 graphics cards. But again, it doesn't say like what the max, you know, like does this power supply that's in here have
enough wattage to,
yeah, to power, and how many PCI Express power cables or like, we don't know. PCIe Gen 4 M.2 SSDs, so you can put three of those in there. Two Thunderbolt 4 ports, Wi-Fi 6E, 10 gig Ethernet. 10 gig Ethernet standard. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
I like it. I think these are cool.
But so the i7 version with those specs that we laid out starts at 1150. And the i9 starts at 1450.
That's, I mean, you know, you're getting a motherboard, a power supply, a case, the cooling,
CPU, memory.
CPU, like, all right.
Or I don't know if it comes with the memory. Probably. I mean, you would. And again, these CPUs do have iGPUs in them, so you wouldn't have to buy a graphics card right away. It is nice and small. You know, that's very small. I like them. I don't, again, for somebody who's like a gamer, I don't know how practical it is. You know what I mean? But
cool LAN party box, right? Like dorm room machine. If you just don't have a lot of space and need a lot of power, this will do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. So.
Yeah, old man was commenting on our USB. He said he quit using USB hubs because they kept dropping out, but says the back of the motherboard is the most reliable connection. Like, my keyboard and mouse are connected directly to the back of the motherboard, and they dropped. And yeah. Then, like, my mic and my camera
are
connected to a hub that's directly to the back of the motherboard. But
so I went through, like, the same process of trying to figure out what was going on. Because, again, my system, I feel, is pretty fine. And after doing some research and buying a hub, powered hub, that's the biggest thing, is powered hub.
Right.
Is that I don't know. Again, I haven't like 100% identified what the issue is, but it's some power. It's something to do with the power to the USB. Because when I have an externally powered USB, so like it's the USB hub is connected to the wall as far as power. Without the motherboard regulating the power that's going through there, I don't lose connection anymore. Because it happened to me a bunch of times. That kind of solved my problem. But yeah, there's a lot of other issues, you know. Yeah. And you have to get it. Go ahead.
I used to have it, and then it like went away, and now it's come back in the last like week. It happened to me the other day, and I was like, oh, don't start this up again.
Yeah, like I said, a powered USB hub was just it solved it for me for the time being. But again, things can just mess up at any point in time, you know.
Oh yeah,
because it's computers. So yeah. But yeah, new NUC. I it's a cool little LAN machine, or you know, somebody who wants something again, who wants like a nice little PC that they could possibly upgrade or add a graphics card in later. That's, you know,
sure.
for you know, like 1150 for the i7. I mean, that's not bad, you know. And again, lots of storage, lots of room for memory. It could be a nice little editing machine, honestly, too. With kind of what you get there. So yeah, go ahead and check that out if you are interested. Going completely opposite spectrum, BioStar announced a cryptocurrency mining rig that they put together. It's the iMiner A588X8D2. It's this big looking thing here. Comes with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 RX 580s inside, and one of their mining motherboards. So BioStar is pretty big on their mining motherboards, and they kind of just put this whole thing together with you know, with all that. And I guess it's a way to get rid of their RX 580s.
I don't know. When I saw the story, I was like, 580s, what are we doing here? But yeah.
I guess it's just a
couple pallets of them sitting around.
There's something, yeah. Not sure. Do we have a price? No price on this. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you just wanted to buy a mining rig. I mean, you can buy a ton of mining rigs like this. There's companies that will pre-build them for you. But this one's kind of, I guess, good to go. It's in their own enclosure and everything. I mean, all your connections right there. I mean, yeah, if, you know, but 580s, I mean, not, you know,
not the peak not, of,
yeah, not, not peak performance here. This is something I thought was really cool. So if you're into hardcore overclocking or just kind of, I mean, even if you're not overclocking, I've seen some people replace the heat spreader on their CPU. There's kits that you can do. I know DeBauer has a kit that allows you to do it. Now, if you take the integrated heat spreader off of your CPU, and if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, it's this little, you know, the heat spreader right here. If you take that off, you're voiding your warranty. But a lot of people have removed it, replaced it, did liquid metal, you know, other kind of stuff on it. Now, this new company called Rocket Cool, they're actually making pure copper IHS upgrade kits that you can buy that will put a pure copper heatsink on top of your CPU. And their graph here, which shows like the stock of an i9-12900K.
Showed a 15 degree difference.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying that's BS. A lot of people who have done this are saying that that's kind of unrealistic, but this is their numbers. This is what they're showing. You know, and this is with liquid metal applied as well. You know, but if you go to their website, they're $32.99 for the kit.
Does it give you a kit to remove it as well? Or do you have to?
I don't
to like believe... remove the stock.
Oh,
it looks like they showed instructions there, and they've got a piece of.
I think because I know on their website they have like the. Yeah. Oh, no, this is relit and delit kit. So I think you would have to buy this too, this little thing.
Well, you probably have to have that plus the. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think just the.
So you're close to $100.
Yeah. You know. But I mean, that's 15 degree difference is a big, big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. If that's accurate.
It'd be interesting to see some people get this and try to and test it out and see if it makes a difference. Because again, I have like a 360 AIO on my 12900K and it still gets like very, very hot. So it's a hot CPU. If you're doing any type of overclocking, it's like nuclear like temperatures. Like it's just insane. It's pretty cool to see. And pure, I like anything that's pure copper. We talk about it all the time with heat sinks, but pure copper is definitely the way to go. Also, if you've been living under a rock, there is a, I don't know what you would call it, a situation, conflict. Yeah, there you go. Conflict in Ukraine right now. And it's kind of funny. So somebody tweeted at Elon Musk and said this. He said, while you try to colonize Mars, Russia try to occupy Ukraine. While your rockets successfully land from space, Russian rockets attack Ukraine civil people. We ask you to provide Ukraine with Starlink stations to address sane Russians to stand. I guess that's probably somebody who's probably not good at English.
Yeah, I don't think English is first.
But if you don't know what Starlink is, that is Elon Musk's satellite internet service. Basically the whole idea is you could be anywhere and you can, you know, place a satellite where, you know, wherever. I know a lot of people who do like the van life are really interested in it because they could have internet literally anywhere. And within 10 hours, he activated Starlink in Ukraine. sent a bunch of the satellite dishes over there and had everything within 10 hours of this tweet, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then people who got it, they tested the speeds. I mean, decent speeds for, again, you know, for what it is. And the reason this is important is because, like, in anything, if you're getting invaded, they take over the traditional means of communication, internet service, anything that's wired, basically can be taken over. But if it's satellite, I guess you can jam slot. I assume you can do that.
Yeah.
But this is a way kind of around the traditional means of all of that. And it's really cool to see Elon just do it.
And you wonder what it takes. Cause like, you know, they're rolling it out in a planned way, right? Like for their customers and, to adjust for because maybe it could be that the satellites don't go in a preferred like line across Ukraine or that area, right? They could be going in an orbit that doesn't place them in a good spot to get good reception, and that might be the result. You know, these speed tests aren't, it's not like crazy fast up or down, it's pretty damn good though, but you know, did they have to make adjustments to their orbits to provide service in Ukraine, or was it kind of a thing where it's locked down via GPS and they just don't have it rolled out there? I'd be curious to know some of those behind the scenes things that had to happen in order for this to be successful. And then I know I saw a couple of pictures of like truckloads of the dishes being
we have a picture of
delivered. Right there.
It's
pretty nuts.
And Oldman said, whatever you think of Musk, Starlink is providing internet service to places that hadn't none or only or spotty phone service. And that's the big thing. So we talk about everybody, you know, finally getting the internet and these like really kind of off the grid communities, even in the US, where there's, you know, there's not even power, there's no infrastructure to bring in internet, you know, or it takes a big investment to kind of do that, to bring in all that infrastructure, you know, whether it's from Google or somebody else. And with something like Starlink, it's obviously there's a massive investment, but it's something where you don't need to lay wire. You don't need to do all that kind of stuff. And kind of somebody out on a farm in the middle of nowhere can get internet. And I mean, decent. I mean, it's not amazing. Like 23 up is not amazing, but I mean, 136 down is very good. I had slower internet than this at one point, you know, I think it's cool. And I think that being able to do what, you know, for, you know, what's going on over in Ukraine is pretty cool as well. So I would say hats off to Elon for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you ever get, if like the speeds would be, I don't know, like 500 down, 250 up, would you ever consider getting
something? It depends like what the ping is. Like the ping here in this image is pretty decent for satellite. 77 milliseconds is pretty fast for that. I don't know. I don't think I would in my current environment. I have a potential use for it.
Yeah.
At that's another what I was site, thinking but of. Yeah, but I don't think I would. I wouldn't use it enough to justify the cost for it.
I think the big thing with this is like the people who do like the van life or digital.
Yeah. I know a guy that has this, in my area. And he's outside of town, not too far. He's like just on the edge of where the traditional Cox and AT&T will go. I mean, you can get AT&T dial up and then there's some rural service providers, but you don't get the speeds that, you know, he needs to be able to like either work from home or just do the normal internet stuff. And he went with Starlink and he loves it.
Yeah. I think too, because a lot of services, I know like the base, like Comcast or AT&T or Cox is like you'd get like 30 up, 30 down or something like that. You know what I mean? And this gives you a little bit more than that as far as, especially for download speed. I think if I was, you know, travel, like I said, I think if van life would be the kind of like ideal thing. And again, this is like, because it's satellite, it doesn't matter kind of where you are, unless you're in some like ravine, you know, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of the cool thing about it. So
So yeah, very cool. Also, talking about the, I wanted to get your opinion on this, Ryan. So like in Russia, they turned off like Apple Pay and Google Pay. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you, like, do you like the idea of a corporation?
Right.
Like that's what it's got. Cause we get into this thing. It's like, it's kind of like
interesting. We forget what I think you forget. Or gets mixed up in it and gets lost, and it's so complicated that I know I'm not gonna have the right answer. Is like the separation of a country's government and its people, its civilians, right?
Yeah.
And the sanctions or punishments that you're trying to impose on a country and its leadership.
Well, the interesting thing about that is like it was Apple and Google that made that decision. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like if that's the kind of weird thing that I feel about it. And again, I think it's affecting the people more than I don't think that what's the dude's name? The leader of Russia. I don't think he cares that he can't use Apple Pay. Right.
Right. No, it's not going to hurt him. Yeah. It's going to hurt your countrymen. Right. And maybe some of those rich folks in Russia, right? But I don't think that's enough of a hurt to make a big impact on it. So it's kind of like Steam, right? Like, I think they've restricted buying games and doing stuff in that area as well. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what the right thing is, and the separation of the country and the government and the military of a country from its people and how you treat those things. But it's something new that we really haven't, I don't think.
Yeah. We haven't like, yet. It's, right? You know, yeah. And it makes you realize how much pool or like how much of your everyday kind of stuff is kind of controlled by not a government, but a corporation,
a company.
Yeah. Company. It's kind of,
and they can make those decisions outside of a government telling them to, because I mean, especially if they're a private company, they just, we're not going to operate in that country anymore.
Yeah. Done. It's kind of crazy. Wasn't it something like, this is like years ago, but I remember I think we might've talked about it early in the podcast. I don't know if it's before you're on here, but like, didn't Google pull out of China? They were just like, nah, we're done or something. I don't remember.
It wouldn't surprise me, but
yeah, it's kind of like the same thing. But in any case, back to the whole thing. Good on Elon for getting Starlink up, and I'd be interested to try it. To try it out. I know Anthony over at Tweaktown. I saw him post a picture of a dish. He got one, and he's in Australia, so maybe I'll ask him kind of how that all works. Talking about cloud kind of stuff, Amazon officially launched. It had been launched for a while, but it's like official now. Is Amazon launched their Luna Cloud gaming service? So this is a service where you're playing games on the cloud. It's not like I guess it is like the GeForce Now. It's like GeForce Now. So it's like all of the computation for the game is being done in the cloud, and then it's being streamed to you, which is cool, which means you can game on, as you can see all the pictures here, like you can game on pretty much any device and all of that. This is a service that you will have to sign up for. There is a monthly cost. But the cool thing that I saw about this is they have this Prime gaming channel. So if you're an Amazon Prime member, you get access to a handful of games each month. So it says for the Munch and Barth, Prime members can play Devil May Cry 5, Observer, System Redux, whatever. And I just tried it. Like you type in Amazon Luna, you go there, you're already logged into Amazon, and you can just click it and just play the game. I haven't tried it on a Fire TV stick or anything like that. But it loaded up
here. I'm like tempted to just click and play.
So it just works right off the bat, which is pretty cool. So again, that Prime membership that keeps on getting more expensive each year, you're getting something with it. It's kind of cool because it's like if you do have like a Fire TV stick or something like that, you know, you have like a handful of games that you can possibly play on your TV in your downtime or on your PC or on any device really. If you're a Prime member. Now they're gonna offer a retro channel, which will be $5 a month. Classic games from Capcom, SNK, things like Street Fighter 2, Mega Slug 3, Castlevania Event Anniversary Collection. There's also a Jackbox
Jackbox Games channel, also $5 a month. These are all kind of like family related games. You Don't Know Jack, Drawful, Trivia, Murder. So like if you have friends over and you wanted to play something like that, you'd have it. And then there's also the, what is it? The Ubisoft Plus channel. These will be all Ubisoft titles as well. So there's a lot of stuff on this. I think the biggest thing for me is that I'm not paying for it and it's free, mm-hmm. right?
Dude, I'm scrolling through here. I haven't really looked into this a whole lot because honestly, I think we had talked about Luna like months ago.
Yeah,
when it got announced, and I thought it had already like launched or like died off already, to be honest. And then I saw this news that it was out now. But just scrolling through here, this looks like something I might have to look into a little closer for like my kids, because they're showing like some combos, like a bundle, like the Luna controller plus a Fire Stick 4K, right? But then there's the Luna controller plus an Amazon Fire HD 10, which my kids just got those for Christmas, the kids version. So I wonder if you can use the kids version with this to get them more advanced games that you could play on that tablet that it couldn't normally
and
play.
I guess you would get the controller. Because we talked about it when it was like first announced, and it was kind of like in the beta or whatever, and you would get the controller plus whatever, and they always have a lot of very good Amazon. But again, I think the biggest thing for me is that I get free games just for being a Prime member, and that will rotate each month. And as you know, we saw Stadia kind of go away. We'll see how long this kind of stays around, if they continue to use it or if it's going to just be nothing. Amazon is putting a lot of money into obviously their streaming services and things like that. So this is kind of, again, a value add for if you're a Prime member. Old Man says Amazon Prime gives out free games every month. Also, is that kind of like how?
It is Epic.
Yeah, how Epic does it as well. Okay, cool. Yeah, so cool stuff. Again, it is the Amazon Luna, so you want to check that out if you are a Prime member. Coming up next week, Ryan has a laptop review, which he's been working on for a little bit, of the Lenovo ThinkPad T15G. What do you think about it so far?
It's a beast in the configuration I've got. I mean, you know, they have multiple options, like right there at the top, he's showing, you know, Core Xeon processors. This one has a Core processor, RTX options, right? The one I've got has a 3080 in it. Lots of memory, fast storage. It's, you know, kind of a desktop workstation replacement.
It's big, you know, though. How much does it weigh? How much does yours weigh? Did you weigh it?
I haven't yet. I have the scale over here though to weigh it, but it's heavy, but it's not crazy heavy. Like I have a Dell
six pounds.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not terrible.
Okay.
To be honest,
and this is a 15 inch, right? Yeah, 15.
Yes,
inch.
Correct. Yes. Yep. Cool. It's quite the capable machine. That's for sure.
Nice. And then I will be taking a look at this keyboard, which I can't tell you a ton about, but I can show you what they have on their. Oops, that's on it. What they have on their website, which launches tomorrow. So this is. Wait, how do I get this off my screen? All right, so this keyboard right here is coming out tomorrow. They're launching a Kickstarter for this very cool keyboard. They need to make this so it doesn't go like that. But anyways, they have this joint pre-launch, which will take you to their Kickstarter. And again, I can just tell you what's on what they've put up. Customizable 75% mechanical keyboard. Very cool. It's actually sitting in front of me right now. I've been using it for the past week. Very cool. Stay tuned. The Kickstarter and our review will launch tomorrow at noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific time. So just stay tuned for that. That's kind of exciting. And we're kind of pumped that we got to work on that. And like I said, it's sitting in front of me. So that's all I can tell you about it. But definitely stay tuned for that next week. And as we get to the end here, we'll talk about any tech-related things. I have a upset mad tech story, but I'll let you go first, Ryan, if you did anything tech related.
No, not really. Nothing I can think of.
Nothing.
No.
All right. Well, here's my very upset, mad, not super upset, but
gamer rant.
Yeah. So I was watching. This is like Friday. I think Friday evening. I was just watching TV. I was actually watching YouTube on my TV through my Fire Stick. Nothing. And then my TV just like restarted. Right. Just turned off and turned back on.
Okay.
And then it just kept on turning off and then turning back on. And I'm like, oh, this is just like something happened. You know what I mean? So I unplugged the power, let it sit, you know, all that kind of stuff. Plugged it back in. Still does the same thing. Turns on for about 8 seconds, then restarts. Then it restarts. Then it restarts. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's something with the Fire Stick. Unplug the Fire Stick. Nothing. You know, try a different, you know, I had it plugged into a certain, plug it right directly into the wall. Nothing. Let it sit for a whole day. Nothing. So then I start doing my research. I'm like, what is this? Maybe that's just something I can fix, you know, or something that's like a known issue with a Samsung TV that I can fix. And this is, people classify this either as a boot loop or a, what else did they call it? I think I told you whatever it's called. Most people call it a power cycle or boot loop on a Samsung TV. And if you Google that, there's a ton of things. But basically the conclusion is that there's an issue with the hardware inside. And the thing that really bothers me about this whole thing is that, so when it, right before it reboots, the screen comes up and on the screen is like my Fire TV and I can do stuff. So like, in my mind, it's a software issue, but I know it's probably not. But like, why?
Oh, it's got to be.
Because the panel's not broke. The panel displays an image and there's nothing wrong with that image when it comes up for a couple seconds, right? And there's no way for me, and I've tried everything to try to like interrupt this loop, right? Interrupt whatever this boot loop that's happening. And the thing I've been on like all the forums, Samsung forums, all this stuff.
Did you call the tech support?
I did not. But in anything that everybody said that you had to open it up and there were like, there'll be, you know, you have to replace the one board and all this stuff. And that, I mean, for me, that's not the hardest thing to do, but for a normal consumer, that's kind of sure. You know, and for a TV that I bought in November of 2019, that's pretty sad, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the last TV I had before that lasted me like over 10 years. Like, you know what I mean? And I just expect a product. And again, I just expect a product to kind of last longer than that. Obviously, I think the warranty was like a year. So
yeah,
out of warranty, I think I got it like a black. Wait, go ahead.
I'm thinking maybe you could take it to as rare as they are, a TV repair shop, and maybe they can do something for you.
Yeah.
Not that you need two big TVs.
No. So I put in a request for like a tech to come out. Like, I think Samsung can do that, like to tell me what's wrong with it. But beyond that, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with the actual panel. That's my problem. Like, being a tech person, you know, like if there's an issue with your hard drive, it won't show up in the BIOS. If there, you know, if there's an issue with your screen, there's a dead pixel, there's something, you know, it would flicker and not bring it. Like, if there's a problem with a monitor, it would flicker and not bring up the actual, you know, what you're trying to display. This, it turns on, no problem. Boots up, you can see what's on the screen. You can move, you know, I can, you know, use the, you know, the remote and go around the screen and do everything I want, but then it just restarts. You know,
well, so yeah, like you said, knowing like how computers work, you're like, oh, if my hard drive's bad, right? Like, I know it's not showing up and I can put a new one in there. And guess what? The whole thing isn't bad. It's just that one component. So it's to me either. Yeah. You've either got a one component board on there or it's a software issue.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating that you can't get that result.
People were like online, like you buy this spray that like freezes the chip. I don't know what that's called. So you'd like open up the back and you spray the chip with this stuff that like freezes it so that it can actually reset, like all this, like, but again, I'm just really disappointed because again, this TV was like $800 when I bought it. And that was like just over 2 years ago. Like, that's, you know,
yeah, I remember when you got that and it hasn't been very long.
yeah, it's just something that you don't expect to happen, right? So I, again, you know, I'm busy. I haven't had time to like open the back up and kind of mess around with anything. So I just ordered a new TV because you need TV, you know. So I ordered, that's my mouse. I think my mouse just died. Oh, no, there it goes. I think it just fell asleep because I wasn't using it. So I ordered a new Amazon Fire TV Omni, which the only reason I bought it because of the price, but it was very, very inexpensive. $500, 65-inch. You can kind of see it here. 65-inch HDR Dolby Vision. It has a Fire, like I use a Fire TV anyways. I'm in the that ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Has it built in, has Alexa built in, you know, and again, $500 for a 65 inch. So I picked it up, came the other day, set it up, works pretty well. Can't complain about it. I don't know if the quality is as good. So like the Samsung I had was like the QLED, okay, which was pretty good. I haven't really watched, I watch like YouTube on TV most of the time. So I haven't really like, you know, watched anything that's like crazy in depth, you know, but I think it's for what it is, for $500 for a 65 inch 4K TV. I'm pretty happy with it. And again, it comes with the, I always use a Fire, for years I've used the Fire Stick, and this comes with the Fire built into it. It'd be interesting to see how the Luna would play on this as well. Like how that would go. I'm not sure if I can, I think I have like a controller it's not like an Amazon controller, but it's just like a Bluetooth controller. I think I can connect to this as well. So we'll see if I can play some games on it, you know, but in any case, that's my mad. I'll probably never buy a Samsung TV again. I probably won't, because that's kind of like, that's disappointing. I mean, thankfully, like I have money to buy a new TV, right? But I, you know, some people, yeah, you know, and they're kind of, you're just like, it's out of warranty. You just don't expect, at least in my opinion, you don't expect a TV to kind of die like that.
Yeah, 2 years, especially from a big of a name as Samsung.
Yeah. So Glenn said I would try to reset the TV to the factory setting. So the problem is that you can't. So it turns on for about 10 seconds or 8 to 10 seconds, which doesn't give you enough time to go into the settings and do anything. Turns on, screen comes on for probably 3 seconds, and then it turns off. Even if I unplug the power and then I plug in the power, the TV automatically turns on. It doesn't like just off and I hit the power. Like there's no, I've literally gone through every facet of trying to fix it beyond, you know, opening it up, which I moved it in my bedroom now. I'll open it up eventually and maybe see kind of what's going on in there. Yeah. But yeah, old man says he has a 55 inch LG 4K OLED. Yeah. See, that's the thing is, like, I was thinking, oh, should I just splurge on this, you know, crazy new TV? But I don't watch enough to really, you know, for that quality. But oh, LEDs are just awesome.
Yeah, they look awesome.
Yeah.
I know. Like, the last TV we bought was one as a Walmart brand, their house brand, like on. And it was, this was, 3 years ago, maybe, but it was like a 55 inch 4K screen with the Roku TV built in, and it was $200.
Yeah,
like for the bedroom, like it's insane that at that price, it's almost a
yeah. And I would expect
to get 2 years out of it, I guess.
Yeah, I understand pain, you know, but like for me, I don't watch enough to get like the higher quality,
right?
Because even with the Samsungs, there's like the whatever their base model is, and then the QLED, which is the middle, kind of what I had last time, and then there's like their super high end quantum dots, whatever. And I think Samsung has OLED too, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So it's like there's like different levels. But I just can't justify going up to like the higher level because I don't watch enough stuff. I don't watch enough TV in general, but then when I do watch TV, it's like YouTube 90% of the time.
Yeah, so you're not watching movies all the time where you would want it.
Yeah. So but yeah, that's my story. Not a fan of Samsung TVs anymore, sadly, because I did like the TV. But yeah, we are going to be jumping off here and jumping over to Twitch.
playing some games. Me and Ryan are playing some Apex Legends, and I got to test this this new mouse, which I'm pretty pumped about as well. So this is the Steel Series.
That does look good. Yeah, I haven't seen it lit up yet. That looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, so this is new Steel Series Ghost Edition, which is like the opaque white. So I'll be kind of pumped to test that in Apex Legends. So twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Head on over there if you want to keep on hanging out with us. Thanks everybody for coming out in the live chat. Old man Glenn, good to see you guys here as well. Old man also said, talking about TVs, he said Best Buy has a Pioneer 43-inch LED 4K UHD Smart Fire TV for $265. That's crazy how cheap these things. I was pretty surprised that I got that 65-inch 4K for $500. You know, it's a pretty good deal. So lots of awesome deals. Obviously, I would say the best time to buy a TV is you know, when they have like the crazy sales for Super Bowl, Black Friday, that kind of stuff, or you know, yeah. So in any case, guys, again, we'll be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.